With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Dr. Tibbles, what is a brief description of telemedicine?
Patrick, that's a harder question than you might think.
All right.
You know, if you ask 100 people, what is telemedicine, you'll probably get 100 answers. I think of it quite simply. Telemedicine really is, you know, which we also might call virtual care, is really just about delivering quality care in a remote setting, usually by phone, web, app, or some other digital medium.
And what are the most common symptoms that you would treat over such a technology?
So really what telemedicine or virtual care can provide is really quick access to, you know, board certified high quality physicians for everything along the spectrum. So everything from acute symptoms, things like influenza, all the way up to some of the most complicated things through our expert medical services and second opinion services. So really, there's very little limitation to the types of things you can begin to address through virtual care.
And so it's more than just say that you have something simple that you think is wrong and need a quick diagnosis. You guys can also do more intense diagnoses and deal with things in the psychiatry realm as well. So it's not just simple things, sinus infections, flu. So it does go further than that.
Absolutely. On the low acuity end, you have our general medical service, which are things like coughs, colds, rashes, flu season, which is coming up. That will be one of our number one diagnoses. You mentioned dermatology. One of our fastest growing areas is behavioral health, which there's a huge need for, and then all the way up to very complex and chronic medical conditions. It really is, a comprehensive approach to healthcare.
And just kind of give me a general idea of what the most common thing that someone would use the Teladoc app for. What would, you know, besides just, you know, your general things, what are people, the number one thing people actually visit the app?
Well, we're moving into the time of year where I can confidently say the number one thing is probably going to be flu. Last season we had days where we were doing over 8,000 patient consults a day virtually. And where in a brick and mortar setting, maybe 1 in 15 of those visits was for influenza, on our platform in our busiest time in the middle of the winter, 20% of our visits in your state, in South Carolina, were actually for influenza. So we're coming into that time of year where that is definitely going to be number one.
For those, including myself, wondering, how does a doctor tell based if a patient is sick just off an app off a phone? How can you tell if a patient has influenza versus just a common cold? Or how do you, you're not seeing a person face to face, how do you bridge that gap and be able to make a diagnosis?
Yeah, this is where we really pride ourselves on medical quality, clinical credibility. We've been around a really long time, and I like to think we've written the playbook in a lot of ways on virtual care. Things like, over 100 clinical quality protocols, the way that we train our physicians, consulting with top infectious disease physicians who have, verified that virtual care can be a very effective way. In the example of influenza, it's perhaps a better way at times. There are times where sometimes people present thinking they have one thing and may end up with something quite different. So in the end, it really becomes about finding, top physicians in their field, putting them on a platform that's really dedicated to the highest medical quality and connecting them with patients in a really short amount of time.
Let me ask you this. You wake up, and this is probably, when a lot of people use your product, is it's 3 a.m., child has a fever, you don't want to take them to the ER. Once the process is completed, how long does it take from sign up until they can actually talk to a doctor? Because in a lot of times, time is critical, and that's the thing about virtual care. You're there almost within an instant. How does that kind of work?
Yeah, you've hit on a really important topic. Many times getting the best care really comes down to getting the quickest care. And flu is a great example of that, where time is not on your side, and the faster that you can get treatment, the better. On the Teladoc platform, once you're registered, the wait time to talk to a board certified high quality physician is measured in minutes. We will deliver again over 8,000 to 9,000 consults in a day. We do it every day, and we're positioned to do it quite well and efficiently.
And could you give me a brief overview of how a patient would use Teladoc and how it works for the doctor conversely as well?
Yeah, so just imagine in your scenario, you know, let's say you wake up and you have a family member in your house who has already been diagnosed with the flu, and you wake up with 102 fever and body aches and chills, and now time is not on your side and you need quick care and access to a great physician. Simply register, and you will be asked to fill out a medical history and questionnaire. On the physician side, the physician has access to a full medical record, your health history and information, the ability to communicate that back with your primary care physician. And in a matter of minutes, you're connected. And so on the provider side, it's actually quite efficient as well.
And what has been the overall reception for people who are choosing telemedicine and that sort of thing over the traditional doctor's appointment? And then there have been cases where people have replaced possibly their doctor with the telemedicine and these new emerging technologies?
So what we find, Patrick, is that once people have used virtual care and begin developing that trust, they are very, very apt to come back and use it again and again, not only for the same service, but for new and different services. Virtual care really is kind of becoming the front door to healthcare. We work in an integrated way with the healthcare system to share information. And in the end, it really exists together to just be a better way to access care. So, regarding how well virtual care overall has been accepted, we think it's really great since over 90% of companies in the country now are offering telemedicine as part of their benefits package, and that's according to the National Business Group on Health.
And that's kind of how I found telemedicine as well. My employer here offered it, and I had a sinus infection, and I get them, a couple of times a year, and I knew the symptoms, and I thought, well, I'm not wasting a day out of work to sit in a doctor's office, and let's just try it. And I did, and it was very successful, and I would feel good about again using it again. What would be some of the cons? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, I'm really glad you had that experience, and you've hit on another really important thing, which is there probably a lot of your listeners have Teladoc as a benefit and may not know it. So if I could suggest, they might just check teladoc.com/flu, mm-hmm. Which is a wealth of information on flu, but also gives people the ability to see, do I have this as a benefit? Because many people do and may not realize it.
And the only reason I even realized that I got it, I had a flyer in the mail that came in. I glanced at it, Teladoc, and it just struck my eye. And for whatever reason, I kept around it. Said you're enrolled as a part of your benefits package, and I thought, well, why not try it out? And I did. I was very pleased. So,
that's fantastic.
That's great, and I appreciate it. But now, let me ask you this: what are some of the downsides to it? Are there any at all as far as what you're finding as a provider? Because I mean, as far as the patient side of it goes, I don't see a downside. Aside from you not being able to get exact readings of things, how are some of the downsides as far as treating a patient goes without being able to see them physically? You deal with them, how does that work?
Well, Patrick, there are still things that people will need to be seen in person for. We always say there are things like, I can't give you stitches or set your broken bone remotely, at least today. So there are certainly limitations. But the balance of that with the high quality and convenience for the patient, and at the very least, giving them some navigation to the right level of care and the right time of care, that's something we can do for everyone.
Do you feel that virtual care is going to be the future and will change the way that their patients interact with their healthcare team? You're almost a doctor in a pocket at all times.
Right. So I'm gonna answer your question. Is telemedicine the future? The answer is no.
Okay.
And the reason I'm saying that is that telemedicine's here. It's the present. We're way past the point of inevitability. Most people in this country have access to virtual care. We really believe that by, making it easier to access the right care at the right time with a high quality board certified physician, and resolving their health issues in a much faster way with lower cost and less stress, with ever advancing technologies and flexibility, not only is it the future, but it's here today, making healthcare more affordable, high quality, and it's a reality today for most people and organizations.
And you kind of hit on my next question for you as well. I'm not looking for specifics, but as the rising cost of healthcare goes, as you know, it's going through the roof, and is it more and more every day? Is virtual care a more cost solution versus a trip to urgent care or the emergency room? And I think it would be.
Absolutely. We have decades of experience that show that the value to telemedicine and shifting the cost curve is enormous. I mentioned last year how many flu visits we've taken care of, and I will tell you, on our patient survey, patients indicated that just under 60% of the time when diagnosed with the flu virtually, that they would have gone to an ER otherwise. So you can imagine the direct cost saved when you transfer that visit from an ER to a virtual setting, not to mention the other costs that are not directly correlated, like wait times and travel costs, or delay in care leading to complications for flu, or also sharing the flu with others. If you take an influenza into an ER, guess what? Someone else is going to leave with it in that setting. So the cost curve has shifted astronomically in many ways.
That's amazing. I didn't even think about that angle of it as well. You're right. You're not actually exposing other patients to, whatever the next person may have in the ER that you're not exposed to previously.
That's right.
Makes perfect sense. Let me ask you finally, is there a large learning curve for doctors on the telemedicine system? Meaning, is it harder for a doctor to learn the platform and get started with the equipment and software? Is it teaching an old dog new tricks in a way, or is this something that you're just adding in your tool bag?
It is another tool. So is it hard? I think the answer is no. But I will say that, at Teladoc, we have a uniquely high bar. We really want our physicians to be among the top doctors and experts in their field. But we give them extensive training and onboarding and, learn how to provide care virtually. Things like how to exhibit great, what we call website manner, and build patient trust. So no, it's not hard, but it is a bit different.
And I would like to, that's as far as my questions, I'm done. I just had one little comment that I'd like to add as an aside, which I thought was excellent as far as, and I did research it on your website. When I went through the Teladoc process myself, the doctor that I saw was actually very cautious about prescribing an antibiotic to me, and I thought that was excellent, as they are way over prescribed, and she felt very cautious about for just sinus infection that might not necessarily be just an infection, could be viral, but as she did more probing and that sort of thing, it did turn out to be an infection, and she was right. So I just wanted to commend you guys for being aware that we're not just going to give you an antibiotic just because you called us. So that's, I think that's great.
Well, Patrick, if I can comment on that,
please.
Thank you for sharing that. Antibiotic stewardship is an important public health issue. It's one that we take very seriously at Teladoc Health. We have many initiatives around educating both patients and providers on the appropriate use, and more importantly, the appropriate misuse of antibiotics in our society. So I'm thrilled to hear that that was your experience. They are appropriate at times, and we need to be very careful to use them only in those times where they are appropriate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.